Desire your prayers this morning as we consider some things the Lord's been dealing with us about. I was thinking about when Jesus and the disciples was walking on the road going into one of the cities, there was a fig tree there. And when Jesus saw it, he went to get some figs off of it. Because evidently he was hungry. When he got there, there wasn't any. And the Bible says Jesus cursed the tree. The next day, when they were coming back out of the city and on the road, the disciples saw it and saw that the fig tree had withered from the ground up, dried up. And they brought it to the Lord's attention. The tree that you cursed is all dried up. It's all withered up. And the Lord's response was, have faith in God. I'm convinced, in my little walk with the Lord, that it's going to take great faith in God and His Word in order for you and I to successfully meet the challenges that we deal with in life and that we successfully make it to heaven. And that's my little burden this morning, that we have a desire and that we do make it. I want to talk to you for a little bit. Time's gotten away from us. I want to talk about a soldier and an athlete and a farmer. No, it's not a fairy tale. It's not out of Aesop's fables. But it's out of the Word of God. And I pray that it will strengthen us, challenge us, and help us to see God in a way maybe we've never seen Him before, and to see a need like we've never seen Him before. I'd like to look at 2 Timothy, the second chapter, very familiar scripture. Paul's writing to Timothy, who he calls his son. He meant his son in the Lord. He said, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that's in Christ Jesus. I have learned down through my life that there are times when I can kind of stand up within myself and be a little rigid and be a little strong. But I've also learned that I can't be strong all the time. But I'm glad I know someone that can this morning. To be strong all the time. Let me give you a definition of this before I go any farther. Strong. The dictionary says having a lot of strength. Well, that makes sense. Not easy to break or damage. Not sick or injured, having great resources, not mild or weak. You know, we should always be aware of the enemy that we face every day. Don't ever underestimate the enemy, folks. He will do anything and everything that he can. Jesus said he's a thief to come to steal, kill, and to destroy. None of those things sound comforting and good to me. But sounds like someone that is bent on doing evil. And his purposes are all evil. And they're all wrong. And they're all against you and I and our souls and our eternal destiny. Strong. And one of these definitions says, having great resources. And I saw that and I thought, that's really good. Folks, we have a support system among us. You know that? We have one another. Yes. Get the phone calls from people, you know, I'm going through this, I'm going through that, need prayer, appreciate prayer. And I say, we're going to tell the Lord on you. We're going to take it to the Lord. We got a support system. Not only that, but we got one another, don't we? And folks, don't get to the point where you get independent and you decide you don't need, we need each other. We're a support system to one another. Even in the ministry, folks, we can go out and do the work of the Lord, and we know that the ministry has their hand on our back, and they're going to support us as long as we stand with the truth. As long as we're doing the will of God, we got a support system. Timothy, you got a support system. And he said, my son, be strong in the grace that's in Christ Jesus. Jesus has grace for every one of us. He's got it available, doesn't he? It's right there for every one of us. And I've made remarks similar to this before, but folks, let's don't be so lazy that we think all these good blessings is going to just fall into our laps. You and I've got some work to do. We got some labor to do. We've got to get ourselves before God and press into that place where we are in His presence. And we've got to press against all the darkness and all the things of this world and all the enemy that is opposing us. We've got to press through those places. But He said, be strong in the grace. It is there. It's available for you and I in whatever our need is. Whatever it is that we're going through, we need the grace of God. And God told Paul His grace was sufficient. I found that to be so, and you probably have too. His grace is what brought us through. His grace is what gives us the victory. But Paul is encouraging and exhorting Timothy, you be strong in that grace that's in Christ. And I want to tell you this morning, you be strong in the grace that's in Christ Jesus. We cannot afford to be mild or weak about this thing. We're in a battle. We're in a fight. We're in a warfare against the enemy of our souls. We got one chance, one life, one opportunity to do this thing the way that we ought to do it, that we might please God and have His mercy upon our hearts and lives, that we'll be able to make heaven our home. My heart's desire is to do that. But he said here, be my son, be strong in the grace. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Now, what do you think Timothy heard from Paul? He heard the word of God. Folks, we must be courageous in our faith and trusting in God's holy word. It is the word of God by His grace that's going to bring us through. Whatever we are facing, whatever we are dealing with, God has given to you and I in His holy word the courage, the grace, the power to be able to stand. He's given you and I authority to be able to overcome the very enemy of our souls. He told the disciples in the 16th chapter of Matthew, He said, I give unto you the keys of the kingdom. Folks, whatever we bind on earth, He will bind in heaven. He's given you and I authority over the enemy of our souls. Be strong. Don't just lay down and take whatever He sends your way. Don't just say, well, throw up your hands and say, well, I guess this is it, or I guess I can't do anything about it. Yes, you can. You can be strong in the grace of God and overcome. Now, therefore, he went on. Now, I said I want to talk about a soldier, an athlete, and a farmer. Paul talks about every one of them right here. Now, therefore, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. It isn't going to be easy. Don't get it in your mind that it's going to be easy. Life is full of challenges. There are things that come that you and I've got to get victory over. You and I've got to get power over. You and I've got to get authority over. There's things that you and I are going to face in life. And as the older I get, the more I understand it isn't getting any easier for me. I have to fight, and I have to stand true, and I'm going to have to endure. And enduring, I've always said, is a time is not a shouting time. Don't always feel like shouting. Don't always feel on the mountaintop. But he said, endure hardness. not as a soldier, but as a good soldier. A good soldier in Jesus, of Jesus Christ. Lord, don't we want to be good soldiers for the Lord? Don't we want to be faithful, folks? To be faithful to the Lord? To be able to endure the hardship? To be able to resist and overcome the tides that we are facing today? Not only of our own personal battles with family, children, loved ones, whatever it may be, but the tide of the world, the tide of society that is around us today, the challenges of just living life out there in our world, trying to get by in this world today. It's a challenge. It's a challenge. But he told us to draw nigh to God that we might be able to resist the devil. Be strong. That means I'm going to have to fight for this. I know we get tired and I know we get weary. Believe me, I told Jeffrey there during Sunday school, I said the day hasn't hardly gotten started yet and I'm already tired. I'm already weary in body. But folks, I don't depend on my human strength. I depend on the Spirit of God to come down and bless me and to strengthen me and to support me and give me what I need to be able to fight the good fight of faith against the enemy of our souls. I'm going to have to fight. Oh, I could just lay down, curl up on the bed or on the sofa or lay back in the recliner and say, Lord, I can't do this anymore. This is too hard. This is too difficult, but I'm not going to do it. Saints, we can't do that. We've got to endure. And Paul is encouraging Timothy here. There's grace for you, but you've got to be strong in that grace. You've got to be faithful. He said, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen to be a soldier. Folks, the Word of God, Jesus' teachings are full of how you and I are to strip for this race that we're in. It's full of the telling us that the cares of life, the surfeiting and the drunkenness and the cares of life, these things will overcharge us. These things we're going to have to put aside and we're going to have to get rid of. That we may be able to fight this good fight. Not having anything in the way. Not having any malice. Not having any unforgiveness. Not having the cares of this life. There's cares of this life, folks, that are legitimate. There's burdens that we have and they're legitimate. There's also people that have the cares of this life that are illegitimate. Meaning that they have desires and lusts and things that they want. Folks, we need to get rid of those things. We need to get those things out of our way, out of our hearts, and out of our spirits, folks. The Bible says that we should pure in our spirits and in our flesh. We need to get those things taken care of right away. Right away. Good soldiers. Oh, I think about Paul telling Timothy over here, too. I'd like to just look at it for a second. He says in the 4th chapter, I charge you before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, he'll judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word and be instant in season and out of season. Folks, I couldn't begin to tell you the many times over the last almost 30 years that I felt out of season. Didn't feel like doing what the Lord had given me to do. Didn't feel like pushing myself out there. But folks, it isn't about us. It's about this blood-soaked Savior. I tell you that a lot, I know, but it's about a blood-soaked Savior. And when we get tired and we get weary, Paul said, preach the word, be instant. Folks, be instant in season and out of season. Not cause you just, well, I just don't feel like it. You better feel like it. You better start feeling like it. Because we're going to have to be strong. You know, this lazy generation that we live in, people just want to lay down and let people give them things. Give it to them. Just give it to me. Folks, your relationship with God, salvation doesn't work that way. You're going to have to work for it. You have to put some effort into this thing. But I can tell you one thing that ought to really please you. You put the effort into it, you work for this thing, and God will bless you for it. God, you'll be rewarded for it. He'll bless your souls and He'll strengthen you and He'll help you through these dark and difficult places that we go through in life. If you'll put the effort in it, God will do His part. Always has and always will. He said the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears and turn away their ears from the truth and be turned to fables. Folks, we are there. I don't know of a time in my 60, almost 70 years now. I don't know of a time when the gospel needs to be preached and it needs to be preached to its fullness and it needs to be preached to the depths of what the Holy Word teaches us. I don't know of a time when we need to cry out and declare to walk in the old paths, to stay with the old ways, to live a righteous, a holy, and a godly life. I don't know of a time where we need to declare that any more than the day that we're living in. As we see the days approaching, folks, we need to be aware. We need to be aware. We're not in the 1800s anymore. We're not in the 1900s anymore. Although most of my history is in the 1900s. Some of you here don't know much, whole lot about the 1900s. But folks, we're down here in 2017 now. And we're being challenged. Dear old brother Jim White, I tell you, that stuck in my mind when I was down in West Virginia one time. He just got up and he made a little statement. He said, the devil knows that when the end of time comes, he'll never be able to deal with the soul of a man again. He knows that. So what do you think he's doing? He's doing everything he can, folks, to trip us up. He's trying to discourage us. He's trying to turn us out of the way, one way or another. Lord, help us today, folks. I know we're in a battle. And I know that people today don't want to hear the real true gospel message as a whole. They don't. But I thank God for those that do. I thank God for those that still hunger and thirst after righteousness. The Bible says they shall be filled. Soldiers. He's talking about soldiers. I'd like to look at a scripture with that. In the 6th chapter of Ephesians, refresh our minds of what the Word of God says. You see, Paul, his teachings and his writings are very balanced. You can support pretty much everything Paul says right contained right in his own letters because he's very balanced. And he said here in Ephesians, the 6th chapter and the 10th verse, finally, my brethren, be strong. He's exhorting us all now, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And that's what it's going to take, isn't it? It's going to take the power of His might to be strong, to be true, to be faithful, to labor and work and toil at our salvation that Jesus so graciously died and gave to every one of us if we will accept it and accept His sacrifice. Put on. See, we got to do some things. Put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Put on. And I want to tell you this morning, it'll take the whole armor. It'll take every bit of it. Not just a part of it. Not just maybe what feels like fits us the best. It's going to take the whole armor today. This is a spiritual battle, and you're going to be in this battle until the Lord returns or until He calls you home. It's a spiritual battle, and you're going to fight it every day. The devil's relentless. He doesn't give up. There is no ceasefire. There's no temporary truce. Folks, it won't pay for you and I to get weak. You know, I've mentioned this a few times too. Seems like it just came to my mind. We talk about the diplomacy in our world. They send out diplomats to other countries when countries aren't getting along too well, trying to keep from going to war. Let me tell you, Let me remind you, don't try to be diplomatic with the devil. He doesn't understand diplomacy. And besides that, we're already at war. If we weren't at war, Paul wouldn't tell us to endure hardness as a good soldier. Soldiers, what do? They fight. They fight. And you and I, we're such peaceful and we're like the little lambs out here, and we don't really want to fight. But folks, you're going to have to fight for what you want in your salvation. You're going to have to fight for it. It's going to take the whole armor to get it because we're in an all-out war. And I want to say this. Sometimes we get up on the mountaintop, and that's a good place to be. It's a good feeling, isn't it? But don't stop fighting. Just because you're on the mountaintop, folks, let me tell you, you better remember how you got there, because one day you'll find yourself down in the valley and have to make that climb again. You see, the devil, he really is relentless. He will work on us, on our humanity. He knows every weakness you have. He knows every weakness I have better than I do. He knows those things. So we're fighting a real enemy, aren't we? All out war. We've got to constantly be strengthened. He said here, put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, and in the power of God's might, folks. It's going to take His strength. It's going to take His grace to be able to stand. He said in verse 13, take the whole armor of God that you might be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. And I'll let you read on down there and remind yourself of the armor that you need to put on. But he said here, having done all, to stand. Lord, help us to be able to stand today. Because I can read to you in the first book of Timothy, where Timothy said in the fourth chapter, in the latter days, there shall come a falling away. There shall come a falling away. And there is a falling away today. There's an apostasy today. May the Lord help you and I to be strong. An apostasy is the deliberate rejection of truth after previously embracing it. I've seen a lot of it in my time. Deliberately rejecting the truth that they once embraced. Don't underestimate the enemy, folks. God help us today to be strong in His grace. Then Paul went on to talk about a seared conscience, didn't he? Folks, look around you today. Look around at the people today. You talk about a society with a seared conscience. They go about saying whatever they feel like saying. They go around doing whatever they feel like doing. We've had such a display of evil and nastiness and wickedness just in the past week and a half. Amazing what this poor nation has come to. Why? Because we push God out of our schools. We push Him out of our government. We push Him out of every place that God wanted to be. What do you expect? It's a godless society then, isn't it? It's a wicked society. You want to make it? You're going to have to be strong. Be strong. Hold on to it. You know, when we do things that we know we ought not to do, we got to tell our conscience something. You got to tell your conscience something. And I'm convinced, I preached several messages over the years on guilt and on conviction, and I'm convinced that over the years people have seared their conscience, and they don't even bother with a conscience anymore. Conscience has no effect upon them to be able to go out and say and do the things that they're saying and doing today. Lord, help you and I to always have conviction of God upon our hearts. The conviction of His Spirit. As saints of God, we need conviction that we will never go out there and displease our Lord and Savior. But that we will stay in the truth that we know and understand that God has given us. We need conviction, folks. people don't feel guilt today. Wife brought that up to me the other day. I said, let me tell you something. She said, nobody feels guilty. I said, no, nobody feels guilty. They do what they want to do, say what, and they don't feel guilty about it. I said, so how do you expect God to come along with His precious Spirit and convince anybody that what they're doing was wrong and they don't feel guilty about it? You see where we are? No wonder. I can remember Brother Osta saying years ago, he's withdrawing his umbrella of protection over this world. He's withdrawing his spirit, folks. I just don't know how to say it. But I want to tell you, we're living in a hard, dark time. And I thank God for the salvation that He's given us. It's a dark world, but in you and I it can be light. It can be light and understanding. You know, I was thinking too of a scripture. I don't know why all this is coming to me, but it is over there in Thessalonians where Paul said, they'll say peace and safety. Folks, it looks like things are getting a little better right now to some of us. When things start looking a little better, Paul said, when it say peace and safety, he said, sudden destruction cometh upon them. And he told you and I to walk in light. To be children of light and to walk in light. Oh, it's going to come right down. When God says, son, it's enough. I want you to go bring my children home. It's going to come right down to how many are walking in light and how many are walking in darkness. He said, put on. When Paul said here in the 11th verse of Ephesians, he said, put on the whole armor of God. That means there's a, put on denotes a sense of urgency. There is a sense of urgency in me. To put on the whole armor of God. In other words, God is wanting immediate action from each and every one of us to stand. Not only resist, but hold a critical position. Hold a position. Young people used to sing, I haven't heard them sing it much lately, we're not giving up any ground. Not just hold but what you have, but hold the position that you have against the enemy. And I'm going to say this again. You probably get tired of hearing me repeat things, but folks, you've got to be honest with God. You've got to be honest with yourself. The truth is built on honesty. Without honesty, you don't have truth. And you got to be honest with the devil. Devil, I'm not going there. Devil, I'm not going to do that. Devil, I'm not going to give in to the wiles of the devil. Paul talks about the wiles, his schemes and his tactics. You know what a seducer is? You ever been seduced? The devil will seduce you. You let your affections run out where they ought not to be, and the devil will use those affections to seduce you, to draw you to that thing. The next thing you know, when you get down to pray, you don't have the fervency you once had. Next thing you know, when the enemy comes along and you're starting trying to fight, you don't have the power that you once had. Let's be on our guard, folks. Let's be true and faithful. So Paul went on down in verse 5 here in our original text, the second chapter of 2 Timothy. And he said in verse 5, if a man strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. Well, that's the athlete. That's the one that's running. Running to gain a prize. So let's look at that scripture over there. 1 Corinthians, the second chapter. 1 Corinthians, the ninth chapter. See what Paul says here in verse 24. 1 Corinthians 9:24. Know you not that they which run in a race? Are we striving today? Are we working? Are we endeavoring to be strong in the grace that's in Jesus? He said, know ye not that they which run in a race, we all run, but one receiveth the prize, so run that you may obtain. Folks, I believe and I know with all my heart that if we'll run and we'll be faithful and we'll be diligent in our running and we'll strip for this race and we'll put our minds and our thoughts and everything that we have within us to want to run this race for God, that we can all gain the crown. We can all gain the prize. Every man that striveth for the mastery's temper in all things, they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but you and I, an incorruptible crown. Oh, Lord, help us to get our vision beyond this old world. To get a real spiritual vision of truth, a real spiritual vision of the church, a real spiritual vision of godliness and holiness and what God is going to really require at the day of judgment. Paul said, he said, we're all going to give an account of the deeds that we've done in this body, whether they be good or evil. And he said, knowing these things, we fear God. We fear God knowing these things. He said, I therefore run, not so run, not as uncertainly. So fight I, not as one that just beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. I'd say there's probably no greater damage that the devil could do among God's people than to cause a minister to fail. When he's been in the ministry for years, people have expressed their confidence, and they've gotten counsel and encouragement and challenges from the Word of God from that minister, and the devil overcomes him. Oh my goodness, what can that do to people? People's confidence. Lord, help us today. It's not just about the minister. Paul said, I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I preach to others. Folks, I don't want to have a seared conscience. I don't want to be one of those that have allowed sin to come into my life and I continue on to try to do what God has given me to do and deceive souls. I don't want to do that. You talk about bringing a reproach, it brings it, doesn't it? It'll bring it. I myself should be a castaway. I don't want to be cast away, folks. Lord, help us to have discipline. Sometimes you run out of time and say, well, Lord, I'm tired and I need to get to bed and you haven't prayed. Lord, give me some discipline. Give me some discipline that I will never forget to pray. That I will always draw myself to the throne of grace. We gotta have some discipline, don't we? Laying aside everything that'll hinder your run. Even that sin, as Paul said in another place, that so easily besets us. Set it aside. Get rid of it. Determine not to let anything or anyone disqualify us from this race. We got to see it to the end, folks. You know, I made a statement here Wednesday night about how desperate I was to go to heaven. I'm really desperate. Brother that comes here sometimes heard that remark. He sent me a little text and he said, I feel troubled, but need to tell you that I felt the desperation in your voice. And he put it out like I was scared that I might not make it. So I texted him back. Now, so I'm going to tell you something. I said, I'm desperate to go to heaven, but I want you to know that I never underestimate my enemy. I've seen great men fail. I've seen great men go under. I've seen great men give up God. and lose their souls. And by that means, I'm desperate because I want to never underestimate my enemy. But as far as my desperation is concerned, I said, brother, I want you to know that I believe the truth and I support it and I'm going to stand by it because it's going to help me make heaven. Texted me back and he said, I'm sorry. I guess I misunderstood. I said, yes, you misunderstood. Folks, that's just the way it is for me. That's just the way it is for me. You know, I hear all these folks and that are in need today, so many people that are suffering, so many people that are going through challenges, going through hard places, our young people with children, young marriages. We've had several of those lately in the last few years. And I sometimes sit around, I confess, I'm human, I say, Lord, when's my time coming? I must be next. We're going to face something. We're going to go deal with some hard things. I know that. Already have and will again. Unless he takes me quickly. But when that time comes, I want to have something laid up in store. I want to have something that will help me to be strong in God's grace. When that challenge comes, folks, when that thing blindsides you. Years ago, the Lord gave me a message on blind spots. Sometimes, you know, it's like driving down a highway and you look out your side mirror and you want to move over in that lane and there's a blind spot there. You move over and there's a car right there by your back tire. The devil has those blind spots set up for us too. Lord, help us to keep things clear. Help us to keep things assured in our hearts and in our minds and in our spirits that we're in the will of God. You know, I don't want to displease people, but I have to have God's favor more than people's. I want to please the Lord so bad, so much, and want to be faithful to endure to the end. Enduring hardness. Lord, help me to have discipline that I'll be faithful in this run. It's not to the swift, the Bible says. Folks, this is an endurance race. It's not going to be over until your life is over. It's an endurance race. Lord, help us to be faithful. Let me get to the farmer. Time is getting away. Let's get to the farmer in 2 Timothy, the second chapter. Verse 6, the husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Well, the husbandman is a farmer. We're all husbandmen. You and I that have the truth, believe the truth, have faith in God, trust His word. Trust in His promises. You and I are all farmers tonight, today. He said, the farmer that laboreth, if I can put that in there, must be first partaker of the fruits. I know sometimes that's put on a ministry. Maybe that's all right with me. Before I can stand before a people and tell them how the word tells them to live, I've got to have it myself. I understand that. But folks, it would behoove every one of us to do some farming, to do some laboring and toiling in this soil right here, the heart. I don't know about you, but this is a labor. I find it weary. I grow weary, I grow tired, so do you. But he told us to be first partakers, didn't he? Of the fruit. I'd like to turn over to the book of Mark, the fourth chapter, and speak about the farmer for just a little bit. Fourth chapter of the book of Mark, Jesus speaks of it here. I'll get down to where he is explaining it. In the 14th verse, the sower. He's talking about sowing the seed, the Word of God, into four different soils, into four different hearts. He said, these are they by the wayside, where the Word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the Word that was sown in their hearts. The wayside. Four kinds of people basically hear the Word of God. The wayside people are the unresponsive people. They don't respond to it. These are like they that which are sown. Wait a minute, where am I here? But they have heard the Word. And Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the Word that was sown in their hearts. Didn't respond to it. Didn't affect them. Didn't touch them. Hard. Unresponsive hearts. We don't want that kind of a heart. And he says, and these are they likewise, which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the Word immediately receive it with gladness. The stony ground. These are those folks that are impulsive. Oh, I like the sound of that. That makes me feel good. That really blesses me here somewhere. People are impulsive, and I want that thing. I've seen folks come to our altars. And it seemed like, and I remember one individual, especially when they got up from that altar, they looked over at me and had the biggest, brightest smile on their face, and I've never seen them worship, serve the Lord again. Unresponsive. Impulsive. Jesus said, stony ground, when they've heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness and have no root in themselves. And so endure but for a time afterward. When affliction or persecution arises, the hardships. Paul said, endure hardness. We've got to work on this ground. We got to toil in this ground and get it to the place where we can let the grace of God sink down in there. So when these things come, he said, the afflictions or the persecutions arise for the word's sake. In other words, because that's what Jesus taught us and that's what we are to stand by. And it says immediately they're offended and they go away. Impulsive. Impulsive folks are those that fail to count the cost. Don't count the cost. You say, salvation is free, and it is. But folks, there is a cost. Paul recognized the cost, and he said he had to die daily. He said he knew that he had to get down before God, and he had to get the grace from God that he needed to be able to endure through this thing. There's a cost to it because the afflictions are going to come. Persecutions are going to come. Discouragements are going to come. Oh, yes, they're going to come, but we don't have to succumb to it. We don't have to give in to those things. They're going to come. But folks, that doesn't mean we're going to give up, does it? Well, that's what these folks did. Immediately, they're offended. And they go their own way. In other words, they didn't get any spiritual reality. It didn't really grow. It didn't really manifest itself from God's spirit to their spirit. Just something that sounded good. Something that sounded right. I've said in the past, folks, some people just want $2 or $3 worth of this thing. Enough to put a warm glow in the inside. Enough to be able to come and sit in the presence of God's people. Be able to hear the songs that are sung. Be able to hear the word of truth that is preached. But for themselves, they just want $3 worth. They're not going to be able to stand. $3 ain't going to get it, folks. It's 100%. We got to give it all. Give it all to the Lord for the sake of our souls. I think that's a pretty good reason, isn't it? Pretty good sake. And then he said in verse 18, these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word. Among thorns. And the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things entering in choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. We need a love for the word, folks. We need to realize and we need to read the word every day. I don't care how long you've been saved. You draw your strength from the word of God. The word and the spirit work together. They work together. You want God's spirit resting on you? You read his word. You read his word and God's spirit will come down and he will anoint it and bless it and he will anoint and bless you. But they work together. They choke the word. Don't let anything choke the word, folks. We need to have a great respect for the word of God and the authority and the power that it will work in your heart and in your life. Thorns. These are the people that are preoccupied. They let things of the world become more important than the things of God. That's what happens. See what happens? The cares of this world, deceitfulness of riches and lust of other things entering in. Got to keep them out. Endure hardness, Paul said to Timothy. Endure hardness. We can't allow anything. Husband, wife, children, grandchildren. I got grandchildren, 10 of them, from 23 to 2, all the way down to 2 years old. And I love every one of them, and they're all very dear to me. We can't allow anything to take priority over my relationship with God. You can't let anything take priority in your life over your relationship with God. If you become obsessed with something that is of this world or something that is of the human nature and the human flesh, and you prioritize that before God, it will doom you. It will consume you. If you become preoccupied with things that are outside the realm of your relationship with God, folks, it'll cost you. It'll cost you. It'll cause you to be weak. You won't be able to be strong. Why? Because you're not seeking for it. You got to seek for it. You got to seek the Lord for these things. But he went on, and he said, "These are they," verse 20, "which are sown on good ground." Good ground. Such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit. Begin to bring forth fruit. Some 30-fold, some 60-fold, and some 100. Whatever God requires of you, that's what you are to bring forth. And because someone else that you're looking around and you say, "Boy, I wish I could be like him," you be like you. You be like what God made you. You stay in your place, I stay in my place, and I'll tell you what, God will take his church to glory someday. We'll stay humble before the Lord. Oh, that good ground. Let me close with this scripture. Hosea, the 10th chapter. Most of you probably quote it with me, but I want to finish with it. It's such a good verse. I could probably preach a message or two on just this verse. Hosea 10 and 12. "Sow to yourselves, farmers." I'm looking at soldiers and athletes and farmers this morning. We're all of them. "Sow to yourselves." In other words, I don't have to worry about what Brother Clint's doing. I need to pray for him and I need to support him as we need to support one another. But sow to yourselves. Don't worry about anybody else but yourself. When I stand before God at the judgment, I'm going to stand for myself. Maybe they offended me. Maybe they hurt me. Maybe they threw literal rocks at me. I don't have to give an account of what they did. I got to give an account of what I did. I have to give an account of what my heart is and keeping my heart right. So do yourselves. Reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground. What did I tell you 3 or 4 weeks ago? This mercy of the Lord, there's no caprice in it. In other words, it doesn't change from day to day. God's word is the same today. His mercy's the same today. And His mercy is equal and even with every one of us. He's a just God. He's a just God. Break up the fallow ground. You know, I remember when I was young, my mom and dad, they grew up in Kentucky. I remember them talking about the days when they moved to the old farm place. The ground hadn't been disturbed. They'd take the mule out there and a one-row plow, and they'd hitch it up to that mule, and they'd go out there, and that mule, he'd get tired, he'd get stubborn, he wouldn't want to move, and they'd have to whip on him a little bit to get him to move. And then when they got him to move in that new ground, there'd be rocks underneath the earth. Didn't see that. Maybe small tree roots. Every time said the plow would hit that thing, it would stop and it would jerk your whole body. You couldn't see those things under there. Folks, Lord help us to seek the Lord while He may be found, He said. Let's seek the Lord. Yeah, whatever's in that ground, whatever's underneath that, whatever's hidden there, Lord, I want You to dig it up. I want You to plow it up. I want some fertile ground that the Word of God can be sown there, can find a lodging place in my heart, that the Word of God will help me be strong. They said, oh, it was so hard. They hated breaking a new ground in a new field. But after they broke the ground in a new field, when they came along next year, it was so much easier. When they got the big rocks out and the things that were hidden, it was so much easier. Do you know things will be so much easier for us if we don't strive against the Lord? Let's not strive against the Lord. Let's not be haughty and proud and arrogant and rebellious against the Lord. Why would anybody want to do that against God? He only wants one thing for every one of us: eternal peace and joy and blessings in the life to come. May the Lord help us today. He went on to say it's time to seek the Lord till He come and rain righteousness upon you. Oh, folks, I don't know how it is with you, but when He comes and rains righteousness, when He pours in His Spirit and those blessings come, I tell you, they're wonderful times. Wonderful times. I hear people talking about going to movies, and this movie was good. Some of my children that are out there in the world, that movie's good. Oh man, you ought to see it. Folks, there's nothing to compare to the righteousness and the Spirit of God coming down and flooding the soul of a man. Nothing compares with His Spirit flooding our souls. I strive for that. I want to work for that. I'm willing to labor for that. But Paul reminds us, endure hardness as a good soldier and be strong in the grace that's in Christ Jesus. May the Lord help us all today to be strong in that grace. Because it's going to take His grace. There ain't a one of us here. I don't care how intelligent you are. I don't care how young you are or how strong you think you are. There ain't none of us here going to make it without the grace that's in Christ Jesus. So let's seek for that every day. Every day. Put a little bit more. Lay a little bit more, Lord, in my heart and in my life that I'll be able to stand when the challenges come. Because they're coming. Lord, help us to be faithful. Pray for me. Amen.